Shavuos. A Yidus to get ready, Shavuos is coming. And he gave a drasha about it. After he finished the drasha, a man comes over to him and he says, I have my minhag, well, how I prepare for Shavuos. So he says, what's your minhag? He says, on the first night of Sfira, I eat one cheese blintz, the second night another cheese blintz, two cheese blintzes, the next night three, and every night I add another cheese blintz. Come Shavuos, I'm ready for Shavuos. So the Rav said to him, and what do you do if you forget one night? He says, if I forget one night, I do according to halacha. I continue to eat them without a bracha. So everybody's got their ways of preparing for Shavuos. But we have to prepare. We need achana. Sfira is a countdown to Shavuos. And just like when a girl gets engaged, in the old days they used to have a calendar, and mark on the calendar every day how many days to go to the chasna. Today they buy, the chosn buys the color countdown clock. Tells her how many days, hours, minutes, seconds left to the chasna. There's this excitement waiting for the day. We also have to count the same way, because we're also having a chasna. The Mishnah in Tanis quotes the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, B'yoyim chasnusoy, or B'yoyim simchas liboy, B'yoyim chasnusoy is Yoyim Matan Torah. Matan Torah is a day of a chasna. It's a chasna with the Rabbeinu Shloim. The bracha we say under the chuppah, Mekadesh Yisrael Ayidei Chuppah V'Kedushin, the Marsha explains, the Rabbeinu Shloim is Mekadesh Yisrael with chuppah. That chuppah was Shavuos. Matan Torah, that was the chuppah. So we also have a chasna we're having with the Rabbeinu Shloim. We're also excited. So we have that countdown of Sfira. But there's a slight difference, because the color does what's called a countdown. How many days are left? We do a count up. Why do we count up 1, 2, 3, 4 rather than 10, 9, 8, 7, 6? The normal way to do a countdown. Famous Kash of the Chinuch, he has a mahalach. But you could say very simple why. There's a difference between our countdown and the Kala's countdown. A countdown is done is when the person is waiting for the event. If there was a way they could skip those days, they would press a button to skip them. They don't want those days. They want to get through them. But when it comes to Matan Torah, we need those days. Those days are part of Matan Torah. The countdown builds us up ready for Matan Torah. Hence we see the name of the Yontav is Shavuos, weeks, named after the countdown itself, named after the Sfira. The Sfira is an integral part of the Yontav. So what are we supposed to do at this time? What hachana do we do? So back then, when Klai Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, in the year 2448, they saw Nissim Nifloyes, they saw the Nissim Mitzrayim, they saw a Kris Yamsov, they received them on. It was easy preparation, emunah, bitachon. But what do we do in our Torah? How do we prepare for Matan Torah? So it's very simple. We have something they didn't have. They didn't have Torah. We have Torah. We can prepare for Matan Torah with Torah itself. Hafochba, bafochba, dekulaba. Everything is in the Torah. Torah is Hashem Tamima. It's complete. But if so, if we're going to prepare with Torah, which part of the Torah? The Torah is so vast. There's so much Torah there. It means we need a crash course. I have Talmidim. And you get, some of them don't take the secondary department so seriously. Comes to the regents, and all year they learn nothing. But don't worry, the day before the regents has a crash course. They sit there for a few hours, and in one day they do a whole year's worth of work. So here we're holding 2 weeks before Shavuos. We have the whole Torah, and we have to repair some of it. We have to find a crash course. It's no problem. Chazal teach us a crash course. A crash course to repair for Matan Torah. And that we see in the Gemara in Shabbos. When the Goy comes to Hillel and he says, teach me kol ha-Torah kula al regel achas. Which reminds me, Abba Maisa, there was once the CNN reporter, Werner Wolf, he once went to a shul, to Kol Nidre. He was there for the services. And then the rabbi gave a speech for 45 minutes. After davening was over, Werner Wolf went over to the rabbi and he said to him, Rabbi, that was some speech you gave. You think you could give it to me in a nutshell? In 1 minute, 2 minutes, give me over the whole speech? And the rabbi thinks to himself, probably he wants a soundbite for CNN. Thinks about it. Yep, I think I could do it for you. So he says to the rabbi, so why didn't you? So there's times we want a soundbite. This goy came to Hillel, he wanted a soundbite. Kol ha-Torah kula al regel achas. Hillel said, no problem. Kol ma'adot sani, the Chavrech Leisavik. That is Kol HaTorah Kula. In other words, in essence, V'ahavta l'reicha kamoicha. That is a perfect preparation for Matan Torah. Rabbeinu Yonah says in Ovis, on the Mishnah, Ein Derech Eretz, Ein Torah, his mazbeh, Shetzorech Tchila L'sakin Atzmai B'midas Tavis. Before a person can have Torah, he has to prepare his midas. Or Bezer Tishkoin Torah. Only then will Torah rest in the person. Without midas Tavis, the Torah will not come to such a person at all. Similarly, he says in the Mishnah in Ovis, Haskin Atzmachat Nil Matera. Prepare yourself. How? With midas Tavis. Midas are prerequisite for Kabbalah's Torah. In other words, first you have to be a mensch. Derech Eretz. There was a man who emigrated to America from the Soviet Union. And there in the Soviet Union, he'd been used to standing in line in a grocery for 6 hours to buy 6 cucumbers and 4 tomatoes, if they hadn't run out by the time he got to the front of the line. He came to America, and his cousin takes him to a supermarket, to a ShopRite. He's never seen anything like it in his life. Aisles and aisles of food. So he's going down the aisles, and he shows his cousin, look, instant coffee. What's that? So he says, you put a spoonful of coffee in a cup, pour some water in, you have coffee. He says, wow, we have to take beans and grind them and brew them. Such an avoider. So simple, geschmack. So then he sees instant mashed potato. He says, what's this? He says, again, you put some water in with these, with the powder, and you have mashed potatoes. Whoa, you have to peel potatoes. Amazing. And then he sees powdered milk. Don't tell me. He says, yeah. You pour the powder in, put water in, and you have milk like that without milking a cow. Amazing. And 2 minutes later, he screams to his cousin, ah, look, look, come here, see this. He says, well, what is it? He shows him, baby powder. No, to make a mensch is not instant. That's not so easy. That takes effort. A person has to put in avoda to be able to make a mensch, to have midas tavis. Why is midas so fundamental for Matan Torah, to learn Torah, to have Torah? They seem unconnected. The Chaznish explained. He said, one who can't be mevate, can't give in to a friend, sacrifice for a friend. Somebody who can't do that cannot sacrifice for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, for mitzvahs, you have to give your time for davening, for learning, your physical needs, fasting, material, you've got to give tzedakah. If you can't give for a friend, how are you going to do that for Bari Olam? A person has to be able to sacrifice. Midas Tavis is perfect training. And that's why the Yidden needed 49 days. 49 days to reach the level of Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar. For Klal Yisrael to stand united at the foot of the mountain. Because the only difference between united and untied is where one places the eye. So somebody will tell you, it's a mission in Ovis. Im ein ani li mili. I have to be for myself. I have a mission. A mission only I can do. What do you want from me? Of course I focus on the eye. Someone like that is very dangerous. If it's focused only on the first line of the Mishnah, you have to continue the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues. Im ani la'atzmi mo'ani. There's a story of Ed and Joe. They were in the hospital, and Joe had the bed next to the window. And Joe every day would tell Ed what's happening outside the window. He would entertain him and tell him how there's a baseball game outside and tell him about it. Then he would tell him about a couple taking a walk. Every day telling him different things, the leaves changing color, the trees blossoming. And Ed was so excited, tell me more, tell me more. But Ed was so jealous. Joe has the bed next to the window. If only I could have that bed next to the window. One night, in the middle of the night, Ed hears Joe coughing. He's coughing and coughing, and he seems to have trouble breathing. And Ed thinks to himself, I better call a nurse. On the other hand, I'm very jealous. I'd like that window. And he delays, he hesitates. And then the coughing goes quiet. That night, Joe dies. The next morning, they come to take him out the room. And Ed says to the nurse, is it possible now that you could move my bed to next to the window? And the nurse says, sure. So the nurse moves Ed's bed next to the window. And now he has the opportunity to see what's happening outside, what he's been waiting for. With all his strength, he lifts himself up. He looks out the window, and there he sees a brick wall. Joe had been entertaining him, taking care of him all this time. And this was a jealousy. This was Ed. Im ani la'atzmi mo'ani. And you think this is just a story. This is real life as well. Just last week, I was in a bagel store. And the person behind the counter is talking on the phone, very angrily at a customer, hangs up the phone. And then he says to me, you know what this woman wanted? She said I should make up her order, and then when she honks outside, I should bring it out to her. She says she can't come into the bagel store. She has 5 children in the car. She doesn't want to leave them alone. I don't understand her. If she can't take care of her children, she shouldn't have children. That's why I don't have children. And for that matter, that's why I didn't get married. Who wants to take care of a wife? I take care of one person, me. Yeah, there are people out there. Im ani la'atzmi mo'ani. What does this mean? Reb Shimon Shkop explains that somebody can have an ani that is only focused on himself. But then there's an ani, you can expand the ani. You can include your spouse, your family. The famous story they teach in all the Shon Bayis classes. Reb Aryeh Levine came with his wife to the doctor. There was a problem with a foot. And he tells the doctor, my wife's foot is hurting us. He felt her pain as well, which is really in the Pasuk in the Torah, you could say. The Pasuk says, when an Eved Ivri leaves, the Yotza Ishtoi Imoi, his wife leaves with him. Chazal asked the Kasha, his wife wasn't an Eved, he was the Eved. Chazal say a Pshat, we could learn Pashat. If he was an Eved, she was an Eved. She feels herself as an Eved. If her husband's an Eved, the Yotza Ishtoi Imoi, her Avdus is over. There's a story of two brothers. They went through the Holocaust. They survived. And after they got out of the DP camps, they got visas to different places. One brother, Mendel, goes to Yerushalayim. The other brother, Nachman, he goes to America. And they start taking on very different lifestyles. Mendel puts on Yerushalayim garb, and he lives a life of Yerushalmi in Meir Shorim. Meanwhile, Nachman came to America, went to law school, and bit by bit gave up Yiddishkeit. Nachman becomes a very successful lawyer, changes his name to Norman. The years go by. Mendel has a big family, and now it's time to marry off the oldest of his 13 children. And like many people in Yerushalayim, he can't get the money together. He decides to come fundraising in America. So he goes around collecting in America, and he decides he ought to make a stop by his brother. He hasn't seen him all these years. So he goes to his brother's office in Manhattan. He sits down with his brother and he tells him his problem. Perhaps his brother can help him out. So his brother Nachman says to him, listen, after the war, we made choices, lifestyle choices. I decided to come to America. I decided to become a successful lawyer, work hard and have a successful life. You decided to go to cop out, to go there and live this extremist life. And then you go and have 13 brats, and I'm supposed to help you out? Besides, if I help you with this child, you're going to come every time. I'm not interested. Goodbye. So Mendel says, okay, thank you very much. He's very disappointed. He gets up to leave. Just before he goes out the door, he turns to his brother and he says, Nachman, when you die today, do me a favor. Tell our Father in heaven how much trouble I'm having. Perhaps he can do something for me. And then Mendel slams the door and goes out. Nachman hears what he said. He turns white. When he dies today, he jumped up, goes chasing after Mendel. But by the time he gets to the elevator, Mendel has gone down already. So Nachman goes to get the next elevator. He presses the button. He presses it 6 times because you know that makes it come much quicker when you press it 6 times. And then the elevator comes eventually. He goes down. He sees Mendel is already getting into a taxi, goes chasing after it. He manages to get the license plate, and he tracks down Mendel to where he's staying. He goes to Mendel. A few hours later, he comes into him, and he says, Mendel, I've been thinking about it. You know, you're my brother after all. I've decided I want to help you. But tell me, what was this business about if I die today? What did you mean by that? He says, I'll tell you. Recently, I was in the hospital, and there was a family who was speaking to the doctor. I overheard a conversation. The family said to the doctor, our father, what's the prognosis? How long do you think he has? And the doctor said to them, you know how it is. When a person doesn't recognize family, he has less than 24 hours. We have to make sure we recognize family. Im ani la'atzmi, if my ani only includes myself, mo'oni, I'm worthless. But then there's a stage higher than that. Hillel, who said this Mishnah, he says in the Gemara in Sukkah, Imani kan, hakol kan. Hillel was a big onuf. That sounds very arrogant. If I'm here, everybody's here. What Hillel meant, im ani kan, if my ani is here, hakol kan. My ani includes all of Klai Yisrael. I love every yid. Hillel was teaching this to the goy. You want to mekayim kol ha'Torah kula, it's for haftal reicha kamoicha. We can add a new dimension to that as well. The pasuk in Yisrael says, one that people aren't so familiar with. Everybody knows the pasuk mishpatim, Naaseh v'nishma. But in Yisrael it says, Vayanu kolom yachtov. They answer together, Vayayimru, Koil asher dibur Hashem Naaseh. We will keep kol ha'Torah kula. The Meshech Chachma asked the Kasha, you'll keep kol ha'Torah kula? How is it possible? There's mitzvahs dafka for a melech, dafka for women, dafka in Eretz Yisrael, mitzvahs only for koyanim. So how can you keep kol ha'Torah kula? Says the Meshech Chachma. It says over here, Vayanu kolam yachtov. When Klai Yisrael together, when Klai Yisrael like one, we become like one person. And just like when a person puts tefillin on his arm, his foot also was mekayim mitzvah of tefillin. So too, if a yid is mekayim a mitzvah, one yid, every other yid is mekayim that mitzvah. We're all one. We're united together. Vayichan sham Yisrael negedaha. Klai Yisrael like one person. Like we see the Loshen. Einei ha'eda. Roshei ha'eda. The lave of Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael united as one. So therefore they can say, we'll listen to kol ha'Torah kula. Incidentally, it's worth mentioning that when the goy came to Hillel, he said, teach me kol ha'Torah kula al regalachas. He understood, he wants the whole Torah. There's one way you can be mekayim the whole Torah. And what is that? Gilgal. You come back, reincarnation. You come back once as a woman, once in Eretz Yisrael, once as a Kohen, you'll mekayim kol ha'Torah kula. So the goy says to Hillel, I know that way, I'm not interested. I want regalachas. Regal is Rashi Tevois. Loi rotza Gilgal. How can I keep the whole Torah without being a Gilgal? That's Avos Yisrael. That's Klai Yisrael coming together. And that is why we lay in Rus on Shavuos. Shavuos is a day we have to be united. And the Medrash says, why was Sefer Rus written at all? Ein boy, loy tumah v'loy tara, loy yisra v'loy heta. So what's the purpose of the Sefer? So the Medrash says, to teach you the schar of goyim lechasodim. Look at the schar that Rus got. She was the mother of Malchus Beis David. But it's also a Sefer to teach us how to do chesed. And at the same time also, how to be mekabel the Torah. The Gemara in Yevamah says that Klai Yisrael and Matan Torah were like Gerim, with Tefillah and Azor. Rus was a Ger. Let's look how Rus was mekabel the Torah. Let's look how Rus did chesed. We have to look who Rus was. Rus came from Moav. The pasuk tells us, Lo yovoi amoini o moyavi bikal Hashem. A moyavi can't come into Klai Yisrael. Why not? Tachas ashle kidnu eschem belechem v'mayim. When we came out of Mitzrayim, they didn't give us food and drink to eat. The Ramban brings a pasuk where we see they did give us food and drink to eat. So he says, one pshat he says is, that they gave us only if we paid for it. They wanted money. So, what's wrong with that? Why is that a tain on them? They're entitled. If we want food from them, we should pay for it. Why is it they can't bear into Klai Yisrael? Because they wanted to charge us. It's simple to understand. Just imagine a person on 9/11/2001. He, the 48th floor in the World Trade Center. He manages to get out the building. It's not easy to go down 48 flights of stairs. He comes out exhausted. A lot of people pushing each other. He got through, he got out. He's relieved, he got out the building. The building is on fire, smoke everywhere. And then just as he gets out the building collapses. He manages to get under a car. And when it's out, he gets out from under the car, and you've seen pictures of what a person like that looked like, with all the dust, the soot. But he hasn't got time to think about it. He just wants to get away from there. He manages to make his way to the Brooklyn Bridge. He crosses the Brooklyn Bridge. He can hardly walk, talk, or even breathe. He goes to the first house he gets to, and he says, they take him inside. He says, please, please, give me some water to drink. They say, sure. And they give him a glass of water. That will be $3. Can you imagine a person doing that? They've seen on television what this person went through. They're entitled. I mean, after all, $3 for a bottle of water, that's normal. But at a time like that, you charge? Klal Yisrael went through worse than the 9/11. 210 years of slavery. They went through a very difficult time. And they managed to escape. They've got out now. And they want to charge them now? Moav charges them? That is the ultimate in bad midos. That's who Ruth comes from. That's her genetic makeup. But she breaks those genes. And she becomes an unbelievable balas chesed. We see, but let's go step back a second. Not, she is Makabel the Torah. She's Makabel Geiris. What does that mean? Who was she? She was the daughter of Egloin Melech Moav. Egloin Melech Moav. That means she was a princess. That would be, in today's terms, imagine Bill Gates has a daughter and she lives in his $67 million mansion. And she tells him, Tati, I've decided I want to become a Geiris. He says, I'm going to disown you. She says, I don't care. She goes to Yerushalayim. She marries a Kol Yunger man, and she lives in a machsan in Yerushalayim. And then she gets handouts from Kupat Ha'ir. Imagine that. That is exactly what Ruth did. That's what Ruth did. She gave it all up to become a Yid. And then let's look at her chesed, her caring, her depth of caring. Boaz says to her, Ki hugadli ma'asis im chamaseich. What you did, how you took care of your mother-in-law. And the Malbim adds something very important. Not only did she do chesed, but who did she do chesed with? With her mother-in-law. I'm not joking. The Malbim talks about that. He says, Shezeh Moira al tiv midosech. You see what unbelievable midas she had. Shelaroiv hakala soina eschamoisa. Normally, a daughter-in-law hates her mother-in-law. Bifrat acha meisishech. For sure, after the husband dies, she doesn't need that relationship anymore. And here she is, taking care of Naomi. She could have come back home, come back to her life as a princess. But no, she wants to take care of her mother-in-law. Her motives to become a ger, no ulterior motives, no zich, completely for the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is in mitzvahs, that is in chesed. And then you see how she did chesed. She teaches us how to do chesed. The Pasuk tells us, Vayoyim el HaBoyas, Boyas tells her, there's time of eating, come and have lunch with us in the field. So, Vatoichal, she eats, Vatispa, she's satisfied, Vatoisar. She leaves something over. She has leftovers. She has half a tuna bagel is leftovers. She puts it in a brown sandwich bag, and she goes home. She comes home to Naomi. So, Naomi sees her, Vatera Chamoisa, and then she gives her shviga, here, you want this half-eaten sandwich? You can have it. Couldn't she ask there at the lunch, maybe I could make a bagel with my mother-in-law? You know, everybody does that at the bris. You know, the bris is empty after 5 minutes because everybody's packing lunch at the bris. So she couldn't ask there at the lunch, could I please make, after all, it's Boaz's cousin, let me make a bagel for her too. No, she gives her a half-eaten sandwich. That's chesed. Yeah, that was the ultimate chesed. Look who Naomi was. Naomi lived a life of riches. She was somebody who was proud. She had dignity. If Ruth would have come to her with a bagel that she schnorred, she would have said, no, thank you. I don't need you to schnorr for me. So Ruth has to come to her and say to her, you know, I brought home the other half of my sandwich. I can't eat it in the end. I'm going to throw it away. It's baltashkes, you know. You went to Beis Yaakov. Maybe you save baltashkes. Maybe you eat it. She had to encourage her to take it from her. That is the ultimate chesed. The person who you're doing chesed with shouldn't feel like a chefer shel mitzvah. They should feel their dignity still as well. That is what Ruth realized. That is what we have to learn from Ruth. And the truth is, we see the same by Boaz. Boaz was a very wealthy man. And he hears his cousin Naomi has come to town. So the most simple thing for him to do would be take out his checkbook and write her a check for $10,000. Help her get started. Why didn't he do that? You know what he does? How nice he is? He tells Ruth, you want to collect? That's no problem. You can collect in my fields. Don't worry. It's like somebody comes in. You can collect in my shul. I'll help you go. I'll go around with you in the shtiebel collecting. Why can't he give her a check? He understands. Naomi never came to me schnorring. Naomi doesn't want a check. What she wants is her dignity, her pride and her dignity. And that's what he gives her. He makes sure they're in the field. That they drop extra. They forget stuff in the field. He finds a way of giving it to her in a way that she won't lose her dignity. And this has been repeated through history. A story I heard. There was a person in Brooklyn who her neighbor is crying to her. And she says, 2 years ago, we made our son's bar mitzvah. It was a beautiful bar mitzvah. We had a catered suit and a hall, the photographer, the band. But since then, my husband has lost his job. We're penniless. There is no way we can make the same bar mitzvah for our next son. How do we tell him that we haven't got the money to make a catered suda? How do we explain that to him? It's only 2 years since he saw his brother's bar mitzvah. And the neighbor, this neighbor was comfortably off, had money, but she knew she couldn't just offer her neighbor money. She didn't know what to do for her. So she comes up with an idea. She tells her, you know, I was in Borough Park yesterday, and I saw there that they were selling raffle tickets, and the first prize was you get a catered suda for 100 people, a one-man band, a photographer. You know what? In such difficulty, buy a ticket. Go and buy a ticket. Mispal to Rabbeinu Shloilam. And Mr. Shem, you'll win. You'll have a bar mitzvah. You have to have a munim bitachon in Rabbeinu Shloilam. So she says, you know what? You're right. I'm going to try that. Where do I get the ticket? She says, I happen to be going to Borough Park tomorrow. I'll get you the ticket. The next day she comes back. She brings the ticket. And she gives the $5. 2 weeks later, she gets a call. The woman, her neighbor, is ecstatic. I won the lottery, you were right. Thank you so much. I can't believe it. I dumped the Rebbeinu Shlomo. I could have probably listened to my tefillahs. I won the lottery. We're going to have a bar mitzvah. And she says back, wow, mazel tov, I'm so excited, so happy for you. Now let me tell you the rest of the story. When this neighbor heard how much Torah she had, she wanted to help her. But how? She wants her to keep her dignity. So she told her this story. She made up this story. She went home, and on a computer, she printed up a lottery ticket, a raffle ticket. The next day, she sells it to her for $5. She calls a hall, she calls the caterer, and she makes all the arrangements. 2 weeks later, somebody calls the woman, you won the lottery, you won the raffle. That is a way to do tzedakah, to keep the person's pride and dignity. Even when a person does chesed, it has to be chesed from the heart. Chesed, not looking to take from it for yourself. I heard a story once that there was a mother bird who sees that her nest is about to be washed away in a flood. So the mother bird swoops down and realizes there's only time to save one of the little birds. So she says to the first little bird, if I save you, how will you ever repay me? And the little bird says that whatever you ask me to do, I will do for you. Just please save me. And the mother bird says, no, you're not the one. So she says to the next little bird, if I save you, how will you ever repay me? And the little bird says, when you get old, I'll build a nest for you next to mine. I'll take care of you. She says, no, you're not the one. She says to the third little bird, how will you ever repay me? The little bird says that one day I will grow up. I will have children of my own. And I will take care of them just like you took care of me. And the mother says, you're the one. She swoops down and saves that child. I once heard that story and I thought, what a beautiful story. How nice. Until I heard a story with a brisker of. There was an uncle visiting his nephew. And he sees his nephew has 9 children. And he was taking care of all of them at one time in the room. One is climbing his shoulders. He's got one on one knee. 2 are fighting. He's talking to them. And he sees how he takes care of them with such patience. He's so impressed by it. He says to his nephew, these children, your caring of them is unbelievable. How are they ever going to repay you? So the nephew says to him, one day these children will grow up and they will have children of their own who they take care of, who in turn will take care of their children, who will take care of their children. And through that, I will have nitzchias. I will have eternity. So he was very impressed, this uncle. And the next time he was visiting the Brisker Karov, he told him over the story with his nephew to see what he would say. And what was the Brisker Karov's reaction? Blasphemy, he said. That is not why we do chesed, to get something back. We do chesed because it says, V'alachta bidrochov. We have to emulate the ways of the Rebbeinu Shloilam. Mahu rachum afato rachum. Mahu chanun afato chanun. The Rebbeinu Shloilam takes care of us. Do we give the Rebbeinu Shloilam back? Do we give the Rebbeinu Shloilam the nachas that we're supposed to give him? We don't, but he still takes care of us. We don't do things in order to get something back. And even chesed itself has to be done without any ulterior motive. Rabbi Twersky, the Rebbe in Milwaukee, he said over from his father, that one time a Rebbe from New York was visiting his father. And he said to him, how is it that your Hasidim love you so much? What is it? So he told him, it's very simple. I love them. So the Rebbe said to him, wow, that's an amazing strategy. You love them, and then they love you back. And the Rebbe looked at him and said, it's not a strategy. I really love them. Some people could only do chesed when they get something back. They're tools for fame, for a name. There was somebody once comes to a psychologist. Came to a psychologist, he sits down. The psychologist says, what can I do for you? So he says, well, it's really my family who sent me here. She says, why did they send you here? He said, they sent me here because I love pancakes. He said, they sent you here because you love pancakes? I also love pancakes. He said, you do? You got to come to my house. I want to show you my collection. I have 2 garages full of them. I have them in my basement. I have them in my attic. Come and see them. Now, this man might sound a little wacky, but the truth is, he was saying correct. He really loved pancakes. We chew, eat them up, destroy them. He loved pancakes. When we love somebody, who are we loving? We live loving ourselves, or are we loving the other person? In the old days, people understood this. You see the names of the foods in the old days. Ruga loch for you, manda loch for you, kneda loch, krep loch, everything for you. And what is it today? Pastrami, salami, the snack, bisli, the gum, wrigley, the Italian foods, ravioli, our pizza store here, Shelley, everything is about the me. And then, of course, the technology, I don't even have to tell you. They have iPod, iTouch, everything, the iPhone, everything I. And then finally they come out with the technology. They come out, they're getting the message. They come out with the we. But how do you spell we? Also, 2 I's. Everything is focused on the self. And that is why Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim died dafka during Sfira. This is a zman where we have to work on Avos Yisrael, on Vahavta L'Rech Kameicha, on the Derech Eretz, on the Menschlichkeit. V'loy nogu kovet zeh v'zeh. They didn't treat each other with respect. At this time of year, for that, they died. They couldn't be the Messiah of Torah. They couldn't be there for Kabbalah Satorah, because they weren't coming to Kabbalah Satorah in the correct way. But not only that, they were Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Let's look who Rabbi Akiva was. Kalba Savua, from the wealthiest men in Klal Yisrael, the Reichman, the Rechnitz of his day. So he had a daughter. His daughter Rachel, she had resumes for Shidduchim, mamish piles of them. Every Shadchan was sending in resumes, at least $10,000 in Shadchanah's geld. And so the father's coming to this Shidduch, that Shidduch. Every Shidduch she turns down. One day she comes, Tati, there's a Shidduch somebody mentioned to me. It's a boy by the name of Akiva. So her father says to her, Akiva, he's the best boy in Lakewood, he's a huge tamachochel. Not exactly as a shepherd, as an Amoritz. Okay, but what's his name? His name is Soloveitchik, Kotler, Halberstam, Teitelbaum, Hazamishbuch. Not exactly, he comes from Geirin. So he comes from a very wealthy family. No, not too much money either. So, why do you want to marry him? Sounds very strange. So Chazal, tell us why she wanted to marry him. She saw Tznia Umali, which the Maharsha explains, Tznia means midas tovis he has. Mali, noech lebrias. Good midas, an easygoing person. That's why she wanted to marry him. She saw somebody with midas tovis like that. He can learn Torah. He can mamish, like Rabbi Yonah said, the Torah dwells in somebody who has midas tovis. The midas tovis that Rabbi Kiva had, that is going to hold a lot of Torah. She understood that. And these exemplary midas is what his Talmidim saw. And they didn't take that lesson. And not only that, he taught them, Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. It's kol ha-Torah kula. He taught it to them. And still, lo yinagu kovet zeh b'zeh. The pasuk ends off, ani Hashem. V'ahavta l'reicha kamoicha, ani Hashem. Why does it end off, ani Hashem? Says the Dubna Magid, that there was a king who sentenced a man to death. And the man asked on the day of the death sentence, please give me 24 hours. I want to say goodbye to my family. And I want to take care of certain things. Would you give me the 24 hours? And the king said, but how can I trust you'll come back again? He was a kind king, but he says, I don't trust you. So he said, a friend of mine has agreed to stand in my place. He'll be a mashkim. So if anything, if I don't come back, you'll hang him. He is sure I'm going to come back. So the king said, okay, I've got nothing to lose. The man goes home, and then he now starts making his way back. But on the way back, there's difficulties with the weather, a broken bridge, and he can't get back. It comes, the 24 hours are almost up. So the king brings out the friend. He puts him on the chair, puts his head in the noose, and at that last moment, his friend comes running in. I'm here, take him down, hang me. And the friend says, what are you talking about? Ask me Yash already, they're about to kill me. You're my friend, I want you to live. It's okay, let him go ahead. And he screams, no way, I'm the one who's supposed to die. And they start arguing. And the king is standing there. He cannot believe what he sees. He's never seen anything like this in his life. And he says, I want to talk to the two of you. And he brings them in front of him and he said, I've never in my life seen friends like this. He says, I'm going to release both of you on one condition, that I want to join your friendship. I want to be part of you. Friends like that are not easy to come by. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, Yomekayim v'ahavta l'reach kamoicha, Ani Hashem. I want to be the third partner. I want to join you as well. And that's why it's not surprising that the Medrash says, Mishu goymel chasodim, nishmas tefilosai. Somebody does chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to his fella. Mispal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'hunene, yedavn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens. You want Shechina, that is the way you get Shechina. Av Yisrael brings Shechina. There's a story of the person who moved his business across town. And he receives flowers at the new business. He looks at the card to see who it's from, and it says there, rest in peace. Rest in peace? This doesn't make any sense at all. He calls the florist, he says, you must have been some mix-up, that I got flowers that said rest in peace. He says, yes, I'm so sorry. Your flowers went to a funeral and you got their flowers. But at least you're not half as mad as them, because they received your flowers. And the note said, much success at your new location. We want the Shechina to rest in peace in our homes. That is exactly what we want. How do we get the Shechina to rest in peace? If we're Mekayim Avas Yisrael, and by the way, V'ahavta Re'echa Kamoicha applies to your wife as well, to a spouse. Before a Shegmorin Kedushin, you cannot marry a woman unless you see her first, because otherwise you might come to despise her. And the Pasuk says, V'ahavta Re'echa Kamoicha. It applies to a spouse. You Mekayim Avas Yisrael with that. That's what brings Shechina to a home. But what stops the Shechina? The ego, the I. Moshe says by Matan Torah in Bezchanan to Klai Yisrael, Anoichi Oimei Ben Hashem Abeneichem. I'll be a go-between, between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you can touch that pasuk, Anoichi, the I, the ego, the zich, Anoichi Oimei Ben Hashem Abeneichem. It's that Anoichi that is a barrier between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and between us. A person has to do chesed, not for accolades, not for honor, real true love for another. There was a psychologist who was putting down a new path to his home. And it was a cement path, and just as he finished, the cement was still wet, some children ran through the path, made footprints in it. He started screaming at them. His wife said to him, what are you doing? What are you screaming for? Those are children. You're a child psychologist. You're supposed to love children. So he said, I only love them in the abstract. I don't love them in concrete. We have to love everybody, really love everybody, in the concrete. And emesa avo, to have kovod for every yid. It's not easy to do that. You have to have kovod for the person in shul, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and the same kovod for the person who sits at the back, schmoozing right through davening. How do you do that? It's very simple how. You have to remember, recently, I imagine most of you know, GM recalled millions of cars. Why? They were having accidents, these cars, because there was a little piece missing. Something to do with ignition switch. A 57 cent part was missing. And they had to put that in the car now. A recall. Now, this 57 cent part, it's not as chashuv as the engine. That's from Chaim Kanievsky. That's the chashuv part. It's not the steering wheel. It's not the brakes. But this little part is just as chashuv. You can't have the car without it. You need that part too. Every person in Klai Yisrael is an integral part of Klai Yisrael. We have to love every yid, whatever yarmulke is wearing, be it a kippah sruga, be it a Batman yarmulke, be it a velvet yarmulke, a breslov yarmulke. But Avos Yisrael applies to everybody. if we work on this mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, we'll be zeicher to the geula. And just like it says in the Parsha Matan Torah, Vo esa eschem, I'll carry you, I'll come fein asharim. Why I'll come fein asharim, eagle's wings? Because a bird has two wings. There's right wing and left wing. We're all one. The right wingers in Klal Yisrael, the left wingers. We all have to come together as one. And then Mitzvah Shem will be zeicher to go on that bird together and be zeicher to the geula shleima. Amen.